Local radio for Portsmouth.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey steamed to victory in match day 11 at the LNER Stadium.
Williams shoots across the face of goal. Great save from Palmer. Loose, great chance for three. And this time it is in the net. And Ronan Curtis has made it 3-0 to Portsmouth.
Lincoln City were the latest side to feel the wrath of this potent Pompey attack, which put three past the Imps in midweek. And despite a late consolation for the hosts.
Chips into the far post. Good delivery and a header into the net. And Tom Hopper has pulled one back for Lincoln.
That Ronan Curtis goal was enough to secure yet another away victory for Kenny Jackett's men. And speaking of the gaffer, he'll be on the show between now and seven to preview tomorrow's FA Cup first round tie at Ipswich. And his attention isn't straying too far away from league matters.
It's tight at the moment. It's tight at the top of this division. There's a lot of good teams and it's really close.
Stay tuned to hear Kenny's pre-match thoughts. We're also seeking your thoughts ahead of tomorrow's game. Get in touch and let us know how strong you'd like to see the Blues line up and what you predict the score to be. How confident are you of Pompey progressing to round two? You have just under an hour to get in touch with us tonight. It's Friday, it's 6 p.m, which means it's time for another Pompey match preview. You're listening to Express FM and this is for Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening, one and all, to the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM, brought to you by Stagecoach across the South. Need to get in and around the city of Aberystwyth? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent services across our great waterfront city and even beyond too. Head to stagecoach.co.uk to find out more information on fares, timetables and routes as well. We are live here on 93.7 Express FM to bring you the latest information and news regarding Portsmouth FC. We've got all of the reaction from Tuesday night's victory at Lincoln and we'll also be previewing Saturday's game away to Ipswich Town in the first round of the FA Cup. Even in lockdown, we remain now more than ever keeping you in the loop with everything Pompey related. We'll be here every Monday and Friday with the Football Hour and every single match day up and down the country to bring you all of the action live and uninterrupted here on Express FM and I Follow Pompey. We'd love to hear from you between now and 7 o'clock. Let us know your reaction from Tuesday's game, where you think it all went right for Pompey and what you believe is making the team click right now. Also, let us know your score predictions for this week's game at Portman Road. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm or visit facebook.com/ Pompey Live. However, first of all, we are going to hear the highlights of Tuesday's victory up at the LNER Stadium. On the commentary for this one was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
We are just about ready to get things underway here at Tintill Bank, Portsmouth. So I'll go from right to left as we look at things from our position at the back of the Serenity stand. Our referee, Carl Brook, blows the whistle and we are underway here in League One. As Nicolaisen plays it forward, that's a lovely ball to Williams. And Williams helps it on to Harness. And Harness to Williams in the area. And Williams shot across the face of goal. It's saved by the goalkeeper. But that was really nice football from Pompey. 0-0. Williams plays in third to Harness. And Harness sets Marquis away into the area. Marquis to shoot on his left foot, cut back on his right. Can he get the effort away? He can!
again, and he'll score. And John Marquis is back in the goals again. Far too much space in the penalty area. If you let him shoot from 12 yards out on his right foot, that is what is going to happen. No chance for the goalkeeper. Lincoln 0, Portsmouth 1. And Portsmouth's momentum slowed. Cannon to Curtis in the area. Williams keeps on his feet. Can Williams deliver a cross on his right foot to the edge of the penalty area? To Tom Naylor to hit. Blocked. Well blocked by Lincoln. Naylor claiming it was a hand. Referee not interested. Callum Johnson wins it for Portsmouth. Cross to the far post. Over Williams. Foul committed. Lincoln free kick. Chance disappears. And Naylor picks it up for Portsmouth. Curtis outside the penalty area. Right corner to Harness. Now Johnson goes on the overlap. Harness left with ball into the middle. Looking for Marquis, who heads it into the net. And Portsmouth have doubled their lead. He scored 5 minutes into the first half. He scored 5 minutes into the second. Perhaps that's why Marcus Harness is playing out on the right wing. It's Lincoln City 0, Portsmouth 2. Chance for Ryan Williams for Portsmouth. Goes round the goalkeeper. Can he pull it back? Across the face of goal. And Marquis has missed from half a yard out. Cannon tries to chip into the area. It's going to fall loose to Williams again. Williams shoots across the face of goal. Great save from Palmer. Loose. Great chance for three. And this time it is in the net. And Ronan Curtis has made it 3-0 to Portsmouth. And Pompey are looking great to bounce back from Saturday's disappointment with a win. Lincoln just couldn't get set at the back. Ronan Curtis has squeezed it into the bottom corner. Lincoln 0, Portsmouth 3. Harry Anderson, the substitute. He did start the last game. Chips it to the far post. Good delivery and a header into the net. And Tom Hopper has pulled one back for Lincoln. There is 18 minutes to go. The clean sheet goes for Portsmouth. Lincoln 1, Portsmouth 3. As Portsmouth take the corner. And that's the final action of this game here at Sinsel Bank. And Portsmouth have won 5 games away from home in a row. And it's quite an impressive record. It's finished Lincoln City 1, Portsmouth 3.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
There you have it then. The highlights you've just heard there from Pompey's 3-1 victory over the Imps. Lincoln City on Tuesday night. Joining me over the phone this evening to react to that game and to look ahead to the next fixture, first of all, is Sam Macy. Sam, a very good evening to you, mate, and thank you for calling in to chat to us.
No worries, mate. Always a pleasure.
Sam, another win on the road for Pompey in midweek, then 5 on the bounce in all competitions. And what a win it was.
Yeah, completely. I always like going to Lincoln away, so I was a bit upset that we couldn't go this season. But it's, yeah, really, really good result. I think impressive to bounce back the way we did after the disappointing result against Charlton on Saturday. Another 2 goals for Marquis. Can't complain about how we're playing at the moment, so... Mm. Yeah, very positive, very positive.
And joining you tonight, Sam, is Katie Mullins, Pompey supporter and vice-captain of the Gosport Borough Ladies. Katie, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to lead tonight's show, Katie, by reviewing the Blues' performance up in Lincoln on Tuesday night. First and foremost, that was exactly what we wanted to see after the home defeat in the previous match.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, if you compare that to some of the results, even at the beginning of the season, it was like watching a completely different team. Like, you can tell how high the confidence is, and just ever since he's changed that formation, playing to Hal Marquis, you know, he needs the ball at his feet, and just shows what happens.
Yeah, and it's all about bouncing back, Sam. As you've already mentioned just a few moments ago, Pompey were beaten by a very good Charlton side last Saturday. And to be honest, there weren't too many complaints from that one, though a big reaction was needed, and a big reaction we got.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't think we played too badly against Charlton. It just sort of wasn't our day. They're a very, very well organised side, and it was always going to be tough, like not conceded a goal in 5 or 6 games or something ridiculous like that. But just the way Lincoln have started the season, obviously top of the league or in and around the top of the league, to put in that performance against the team who started the season as well as they have, I think it's the perfect response, really. I don't think they laid a glove on us until they scored. So I think, to be honest with you, it was the perfect reaction.
Yeah.
We looked confident, like the Charlton game hadn't knocked anything, and bounced back. Bouncing back is a sign of a good team. So thankfully we were able to do that.
Mm. Sam mentioned there, Katie, about how Pompey were cruising at 3-0 up. Lincoln, okay, they got a consolation goal late in the match. Pompey maybe took the foot off the gas a little bit. But to be honest, that's what you can do with a 3-goal cushion. That's why getting those goals earlier on in the match were so important.
Yeah, well, if you look at the stats from last season, I think this is probably one of our, even so far, it's one of our highest scoring seasons for a long time. Like, I can't even remember the last time we won with more than 3 or 4 goals. Mm. So it's just, yeah, ever since he's changed that formation up, it's just, you know, it's just insane to see the difference that that can make to a team.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear now from assistant manager Joe Gallen, who caught up with our colleague Andy Moon on the touchline at Sinsel Bank following Pompey's 3-1 victory over Lincoln City on Tuesday night.
Joe, congratulations. That was an impressive away win. What went right tonight?
Most things went right. I mean, the thing is about the away performances that we've seemed to have scored an early Rochdale apart, and we should have scored a few there. We've managed to score an early goal, unlike in the home games, in the last 3 games, I think. And that always gives you you know, some confidence and, you know, talk about platforms. And, you know, I don't even know what a platform is at times, but it gives us some sort of platform to go on to get the win that we wanted, we needed, and after Saturday.
It was a very young back four for Lincoln. Was that something discussed before the game?
Well, we didn't quite know until we got the team sheets. I mean, they've got a player there that they've got from Holland who's played right-hand side, centre-half, Monsema, who not only has played very well for them and scored 5 or 6 goals for them as well. And a lot of our team talk was about him, and then he's not playing. It goes to show you really just need to concentrate on your own team. But yes, of course, and they moved TJ from right-back into centre-half and brought back some lads. I think I'd played at the start of the season, but they were young. But anyway, that's not, you know, our issue. Our issue was getting our performance right and making sure that we bounced back quickly. So it was very pleasing, very, very pleasing performance. Got to say, I thought the boys were fantastic tonight, and 3 goals was good. Could have been more. And I've got to say, also a bit disappointed they scored, because we're looking for, you know, not to concede tonight would have been what I think keeper and centre halves and Tom and defenders would have deserved.
Great to bounce back after drawing a blank against what was an excellent defence at the weekend.
Against Charlton, yeah, we were frustrated. I mean, we had the majority game, but they're a good side, and they definitely got behind the ball and made life very difficult. A lot of experienced players there, and we were disappointed and frustrated with our final ball and not being able to make their keeper work. Didn't have many chances, didn't have many shots on target. So I think the thing with this current team and squad that we've got is that there's a real determination that if something has gone wrong in a previous game, there's a real determination and desire to go and put it right straight away. So we're delighted to come away from home and get the wins. And like I was saying, but we need to, if we can, when we get round to the home games again, we need to start picking up some points at home as well. So overall, players deserve a lot of credit, and their attitude and particularly their football and their play and their passing was very good tonight.
The downside, the injuries. Let's start with Lee Brown. What happened to him?
I think he didn't like my warm-up, Andy.
I don't blame him.
Yes, no, it wasn't very good, was it? He got injured in the warm-up. I would say he's pulled his hamstring in the warm-up. Accumulation of games, a lot of travelling, so that has just built upon him. But the thing is, the squad tonight, and we've thought we've got good players who are on the bench, and Nico's proved that, and Cameron Pring has proved that. And you sort of say to them, look, you've got to wait for your chance, but be ready. Things do happen. They did happen in terms of them getting opportunity. Cameron Pring and Nico did very well tonight, and they slotted in. Proves what we've always said, it's a squad game. Lee Brown's pulled his hamstring.
Could that be a good few weeks for him out then?
Well, that's it. So I'd say a scan in the next couple of days will determine in terms of the grading system which one it is. But with a hamstring, normally it's got to be between 2.5, you know, at least 2.5 to 3, I would have thought. But that's just my opinion rather than the facts telling me that.
And Tom Naylor put some ice on. Has he picked up or not coming off?
No, I think Tom Naylor's okay. Unusual for him to actually come off. But again, he was complaining of cramp and he said he couldn't move. So again, once that settles down, we have to work out if it is cramp or whether it is, you know, a muscle injury. Right now, my opinion is that it's cramp, but I don't know for a fact.
Just finally, 2 stats to throw at you. 5 away wins in a row now, and it's now nearly 2 years since the team have lost consecutive league games. How pleasing are both of those?
Very much. There's a real determination. I've got to say, the spirit in the team in the last few weeks has probably been the best that since we've been here anyway, in Kenny's time as manager. The spirit in this group and the team has been the best. And you can see that. I mean, there's frustration on Saturday, but you could just sense the Monday morning when we all got back together again, there was just a massive determination to not to lose 2 on the trot, and we spoke about it in the warm-up. But the players are the ones who have to go out and do it. And like I said, a real great spirit and determination, but then you need some quality football and some quality play as well. So put that all into the mix and the pot, and then, you know, you end up with a really good performance away from home. So hopefully when we get back to the home games, we start to pick up some wins as well, though.
Joe Gallen with another entertaining post-match interview on Tuesday night after the Blues surged to victory over Lincoln City. Going to get to an email then before we welcome back Sam and Katie into the conversation. Alan Swift, good evening, Alan. Thanks, as always, for getting in touch. Hi again, guys. I believe for tomorrow we should put out an almost totally experimental team, especially up front, while staying with 4-4-2. There's nothing to lose in a priority promotion season. Why not pair Jordi Huila and Ellis up front, just to see how it shapes up, while introducing other fringe players like Minoga and maybe Duncan Turnbull. Keep the Dane in, as he's had little game time so far. Whatever the team, it's away, so it should be another win. Maybe 2-1, says Alan in Southsea. Just going back to that interview from Joe Gallagher, there, and he mentioned, Sam, the injury sustained by Lee Brown on Tuesday night. It's a hamstring issue which will likely keep him out for about a week or two. A real shame, nonetheless. However, we do already seem to have a very capable backup in Cam Pring, who I thought filled in very well on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame for Lee Brown, to be honest with you. I think he took quite a lot of pelters back end of last season for some of the like displays. A bit of a scapegoat, in my opinion, always has been since he's come into the club. But yeah, he's starting to play some of the best football I've probably seen him play since he's come to the club. And it's just unfortunate that he got an injury, which has sort of like ruined the consistency for the time being. But yeah, Cam Pring is a really, really good left back. I watched him a few times when he was on loan at Cheltenham a few years ago, and he was really, really good then. And As I expected, he met the expectations, and it just shows that the recruitment's been good this summer, that we have got someone as good as Cam Pring as a backup left back.
And you've got to give real credit to Cam Pring as well, Katie. You know, he put in a very, very good shift on Tuesday night. However, he had little time to actually prepare for being thrown in at the deep end. 10 minutes prior to kickoff was when he found out he'd be starting the match, and when Lee Brown kind of advised, really, the medical team that he wasn't able to carry on. So not a lot of time for him to get, you know, the mentality right for the match, but he very quickly switched on, and it's a good sign that we've got the players, you know, ready and hungry to play if and when they're called upon, even if it is at the last minute like he was.
Yeah, it's like Joe Gallen said, wasn't it? It's like you've always got to be ready at any level of football that you play at. An injury can happen, and then that is your time to step up. You just got to make sure that you're in the best shape that you can be, and just staying on form, really, and just, like he said, just be ready to be called upon if it happens.
Yeah. Okay, we are now approaching 20 past six here now, which means it's time to head to the first of our breaks here on the Football Hour. And when we return, we'll be hearing from the Pompey boss, Kenny Jackett, who has been talking about the compact schedule for the team, as well as a possible rotation of the squad ahead of the FA Cup tie at Ipswich tomorrow.
Because it's been a tough run of games, and importantly, a tough run of travelling, so we may need some fresh energy.
You can keep getting in touch, Blues fans back home. Right now is probably the best time to do so. As ever, it's at ExpressFM on Twitter, facebook.com/PompeyLive. You can text the word Express, followed by your name and message, to 81400. Or you can get in touch via email. Pompey@ExpressFM.com is the address to send those to. We'll be back in just a few moments' time with even more Pompey discussion right here on the only radio station from the great waterfront city of Portsmouth. You're listening to 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part two of tonight's Express FM Football Hour, which is supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Don't forget that a face covering is mandatory on public transport right now, and be sure to always check before you travel. Stagecoach.co.uk is where to go for the latest information regarding their services. Okay, got to welcome back Katie and Sam to the discussion now. We're going to continue to react to Tuesday night's victory over Lincoln City at Sinsel Bank, a game and a win which kept Pompey in seventh position, but really keeping up with the pace on the top two. Ipswich Town, in second place. Pompey just 2 points behind them. Very close at the top, although, of course, still very early days. 35 games remain of this League One campaign. And Katie, I'm going to come back to you first of all. And something I noticed since around about this time last month, when Mark Catlin came out, you know, to the press, and he backed Kenny Jackett, and he backed the gaffer. He said, "But you know, this is the man that's going to lead us to hopefully a successful season this season for Pompey." And to be fair, since that backing, performances have improved, but it's not just the performances, but the style of play as well.
well, it comes back to that change of formation, doesn't it? We've been playing the same formation for the past, what, three, four seasons now? I think he played 4-4-2 against Barnsley in the Cup when we won, was it 4-1 last season?
Yeah.
And then he went reverted straight back to 4-2-3-1. And it just did not make any sense. We've just put out one of the strongest performances in past couple of seasons against the Championship side. And then the following week, you just revert straight back to the style of play that clearly stopped working a long time ago.
Yeah. And Sam, one of the most important things that we've already mentioned in the previous part of the show, but keeping a steady rhythm and a consistent momentum, really, heading into a very packed schedule of fixtures this month coming up for Pompey in the league and the trophy and the cup as well. That's really the most important thing. And I think before the Charlton game, we discussed how, you know, it was a match we weren't necessarily expecting to walk away from with all 3 points. However, the performance and just really seeing that 4-4-2 formation would be still intact, but the attacking prowess was still on top of their game. That is what we saw. So at the moment, it's very early doors. We're not going to get promoted in October, November, December time, but although you want to be picking up points in every single game, when you've got so many games coming up in such a short period of time, you know you're not going to win them all. So what you can really ask for is the performances and just the consistency of those performances to continue.
Exactly. Consistency is key in every aspect of football. And you look at the team selection, we've not made tactical changes in a fair few games, only sort of like force change with obviously Watmore being injured, obviously Lee Brown getting injured, etc., etc. And it's just, I think that for me is the massive consistency. You look at even like the centre of midfield, like we've chopped and changed so much this season with who we've put next to Tom Naylor, and it's nice to see a bit of consistency in the selection with Andy Cannon. And I think that's made a massive difference because the energy which he brings from midfield, like that box-to-box midfield, which we've been screaming out for years, it feels like, I think that's a massive part of it as well. So I think even Marcus looks like a new player completely as well, being up front with Harness. And I think the consistency has just been the thing which, for me, has just stuck out massively. It feels like everything's sort of going right at the moment, like it was in that, I think it was two seasons ago, that first half of the season where we didn't lose until December or whenever it was. And I feel like that was just purely based off consistency, and that's something which has stuck around this season.
Yeah. Leads me nicely onto my next point, Katie, which is the partnership between Marcus Harness and John Marquis up top. Two goals again from John Marquis. So many braces he's got so far this season. He is now the leading goal scorer in League One with 7 goals to his name, and Marcus Harness with 2 assists to both of them goals. The link-up play between those two players is just phenomenal, and that's something you can only wish and hope that will continue going on into the rest of the campaign.
Well, it's like since we signed Marquis, he's always said, if you give me the service, I'll give you the goals. And the thing with Marcus Harness is he finds those pockets of space, he has good vision, he looks up, he scans, and he just knows how to pass those balls through and get the ball to Marquis's feet. And I think, and their communication together, it's just the major part of how they've been playing so well together.
Yeah. Gav Jones has got in touch on Twitter. Good evening to you, Gav. He's tweeted in saying, evening, Jake and guests. Hope you're all safe and well in these crazy times. Gav, I'm great. I'm safe. I'm well. I'm sure I can speak on behalf of Sam and Katie. I hope you're well as well, Gav, of course. Love the fact that you keep tweeting into us. I was absolutely ecstatic with Tuesday's result, but as far as tomorrow is concerned, I'd rather beat Ipswich in the league, as personally I don't feel that there is any FA Cup magic without the fans, says Gav on Twitter. And it slightly distracts us from the kind of talking point we're on to at the moment, Sam, but we'll quickly get to that tweet that Gav's just tweeted in there. The FA Cup magic this season, now we'll come on to preview the game in the next part of the show, but you can't help but really agree with that statement that our supporters really bothered by the FA Cup this season. Now, we're in a campaign where, you know, it's our fourth one in League One. We are really hoping that we finally get promoted to the Championship this season. We've talked about distractions in the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup, the EFL Trophy as well. But this season in particular, when you've got no supporters going to the games, is the FA Cup magic gone?
I'll probably say so. I think if you look at, like, the game against Brighton in the Carabao Cup, I just don't think anyone was bothered by it at all. And I think that's probably the same for the FA Cup this year, just purely because you want those big ties, you want fans to be going there, you want big away days to Premier League grounds, or you want to make the atmosphere at Fram Park and make it challenging for the other teams which come. And I just don't think that's going to be. It's just lost. For me, I don't like the FA Cup without fans, and it's just seems like a bit of a waste of a competition this year. Obviously, the revenue which we could get from progressing is massive, especially in the challenging times which all EFL clubs are facing at the moment. But other than that, I just don't see any positives of it this year.
Mm. Going back to Tuesday's win then, Katie, and we've already spoken about John Marquis, Marcus Harness as well, but let's talk about Ronan Curtis, the Irishman, who bagged another goal on Tuesday night, filling the void, perhaps, of Michael Jacobs quite well. We all feared that the injury that Jacobs sustained a couple of weeks ago would be one of which really tested Pompey's strength and really kind of indicated where we were in terms of strength and depth as well. But Ronan Curtis, you've got to say, if this is something we spoke about as well when he was out of the team, he's come back into the side after a few games out and he's come back a much better player.
It's the same as last season though, isn't it? He had a dip in form at the beginning of the season, had sat a couple of games out, and then when he had his opportunity to come back into the side, you know, he took it and he shone. But I think that's the same with quite a lot of players, isn't it? Mm. Sometimes if they're out of form, you just need to put them on the bench, take them out of the squad, rest them, bring them back in a couple of games' time and just see how it goes. But I think him and Jacobs are going to have quite a battle for that position at the moment.
Yeah, and a very interesting and very good selection headache for Keddies to have. But on the subject of Ronan Curtis, Sam, such a confidence player and one with fantastic ability in this division. And when he's on the kind of form that he is, you know, linking up with Marquis and Harness up top as well, you can't help but feel that this front four, in essence of what it is, really is so deadly and unstoppable in this division.
Oh, completely. I think one thing which I'll say about Ronan Curtis is Kenny Jackett's man management has been questioned a lot by the way he's treated certain players, which is a different conversation. But if you look at what he's done with Ronan Curtis, I think every time he's been out of form, he's put an arm around him and he's given him a couple of games out and he's come back a different player. And that just links in because on his day, he's probably the best winger in League One. And then if you look at Ryan Williams as well, playing with the amount of confidence which he is, even like forward thinking, direct, taking shots from distance, I think any defence which we come up against at the minute is going to be in trouble if all four of those players are fit and firing.
Ryan Williams as well, a player who is on a bit of form as well, Katie. And I posed this question at the start of the show on social media. Is Ryan Williams perhaps the most underrated player within this Pompey squad? We've questioned perhaps the end product to his game and he doesn't get many goals or really contribute to the assist. But when you actually watch him play, you see how important he is to the team.
I think if he was better at finishing, he would be your all-round perfect winger. He runs at the defence, which reminds me a lot of what Jamal Lowe used to do. Mm. Again, it comes back to finding those pockets of space. He scans, he looks where other players are. He may not get the end product, but further back up the field, he is creating those chances and he is probably one of the fastest players I think I've ever seen at Fratton Park.
Yeah. 81400 is the number to text Pompey fans. If you'd like to speak to us tonight, make sure to start your messages with the word Express. Pompey@expressfm.com is our email address, or you can include @expressfm within your tweets, or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive. We've got a few tweets coming in to us regarding Ryan Williams and his importance to the team. Adam Dark says he's got a great work ethic and a high press, sets the tone for the way we defend from the front, has some nice touches, but poor final ball and just cannot score. His record is astonishingly poor for a forward player, but he's decent enough at League One level overall. Thank you, Adam Dart, for getting in touch. Greg, also on Twitter, best attribute, he's an Aussie. Thank you, Greg, on Twitter. And your Twitter handle, @AussieAussie, is probably an indicator as to why you've tweeted about him. Thank you, Greg, for getting in touch. Wayne Harris says, Ryan works very hard, a very good team player. That's why he is selected, I expect. Yes, he is underrated, but on the flip side, as an attacking player, we would like him to score more goals. And Andy Smith has tweeted in saying, my mind is still open on Ryan. Amazing work rate. However, for a winger slash forward, his inability to cross the ball and his goals ratio worry me. I think when Jacobs is fit, we may see Ryan make way for him. And an interesting point there from Andy on Twitter, Sam, is that he reckons when Michael Jacobs comes back into the side, he might take that place from Ryan Williams. So could we potentially see in the future two wingers, which include Ronan Curtis and Michael Jacobs, with no Ryan Williams?
I think I'd probably do that, to be honest with you. If I was selecting the team when Jacobs is fit again, I'd play him off the right.
Yeah,
I think when he came in, we were told that he could play anywhere across the three behind the striker. Obviously, now it will be either wing. And for me, I just think his experience at this level and the way he plays, I think for me, the end product is there with Jacobs, and that's proven in when he was at Wigan, when he was at Wolves. And I think I think it's just a no-brainer to put him back in. But off the bench, Williams is a very, very good option, direct and quick and running against tired defenders. I think there's still going to be a place for him in the squad and in the first team when injuries hit. But I just think he's probably out of the four attackers we've got at the moment, probably the one who's going to be taken out when Jacobs is fit again.
Ryan Williams, a player on form then, but not necessarily in terms of stats-wise, Katie. He must be due a goal soon, surely. He was very close on Tuesday night. He was close on against Northampton as well, the previous Tuesday. He's had a few shots. They've been on targets and very decent shots as well. And they're efforts which they've gone on to lead into decent attacks for Pompey. You hope that maybe one day he will finally open his goal-scoring account for the season.
Yeah, I can't remember how many goals that he had last season.
I think it was three.
Three goals last season. Yeah. I suppose that isn't overly great for an attacking player, but I don't think he started as many games.
No.
If you've got another front three that are doing a lot of attacking and hitting more balls on target, then does it really matter if that fourth man isn't quite hitting the target? If he can lay the ball off to people who maybe do have a better shot on target, is that not also as helpful to the team as scoring them himself?
Yeah. One big question we're also looking forward to finding out the answer to, Sam, is how strong Kenny will go tomorrow against Ipswich. Now, it's a cup game, and we all know that the league is Pompey's bread and butter. But could you really argue if Kenny did opt to put out a strong side?
I'd put out a strong team. I don't think I'd change it from Tuesday, to be honest with you. If you look at the schedule coming up after the Ipswich game, you've got West Ham under-23s on Tuesday, and then you've got, I think it's Plymouth, is it, on the following Monday?
Yes.
So that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time to rest players. So why not go strong tomorrow, keep the winning formula, and then make the changes for Tuesday? Yeah. I'd rather prioritise the FA Cup over the Papa John's Trophy, whatever it's called now. I think that's the time for changes, and tomorrow is where you go full strength.
And we'll be talking about that game in a little more detail in the next part of the show, guys. Ahead of tomorrow afternoon's match, manager Kenny Jackett has been speaking to the media about his team's chances. Ollie Marsh first asked the gaffer if this weekend's tie could be treated just like a normal league fixture, considering the calibre of the opposition.
Yeah, it's possibly the biggest tie of the round and game we're looking forward to anyway. We want to try to have a good cup run. Cup runs, we've done that in recent seasons and want to do it this year. And also, wherever you can, winning is a good habit to get into, and I think that can help everybody's confidence as well. But hard game, very hard game at Ipswich as well. Definitely they'll have their own reasons and agenda for wanting to go through. Made a fantastic start to the season, are above us in the league, and obviously will be a difficult game.
Yeah, you say that they've made a good start to the season, but so did Sunderland and so did Lincoln, and you managed to beat them away from home. So does that give you an extra bit of confidence going into this one?
I think it just shows that it's tight at the moment. It's tight at the top of this division. There's a lot of good teams and it's really close. And it does look like that as well in those particular games. Both sides have had very good starts to the season, but for Ipswich, they're obviously going to be one of the favourites. And after sort of last season, couldn't quite get up there, they'll be wanting to go one better, because for the majority of the first half of the season last year they led the league as well, and as I say, they've made a good start. So for us anyway, yes, we will treat it like a normal league game. The only injury we have from the other night is Lee Brown, who came out in the warm-up. We have no other issues, if you like, for this weekend, which is good news for us. And we'll take a full squad up there, and while we'll be looking at the players hard on Thursday and Friday of this week to see if everybody is okay, because it's been a tough run of games and importantly a tough run of travelling, so we may need some fresh energy. But similarly, between Saturday and then our next league game, which is Plymouth, we have a 9-day period, of which we have obviously the West Ham game in between.
Because obviously Tom Naylor came off in the second half against Lincoln's, but is he sort of fully recovered?
Yeah, he felt both of his calves and just maybe just cramped up. But he's okay this morning. We'll speak to him and see how he is. But he just didn't feel he could move. He'd put a lot of running into a lot of games. So, hopefully he'll be okay and recovered for Saturday.
I just feel like we're talking a little bit more about injuries now. Is that just sort of the time of the season and to be expected at this stage?
Yeah, but similarly, We've had a meeting about it this morning. We want to reduce them. They can be obviously a key to a tough period, and reducing them, making sure our own preparation is there. And Michael Jacobs, Watmore, Brown are all out at the moment, and we don't want that to keep creeping up, particularly with muscle injuries. They're the frustrating ones for a manager and a staff, and ones that you want to avoid. So while we do feel we have a good squad and we know it happens, we want to make sure that we're one of the sides that reduces our injuries.
Just in terms of the FA Cup, obviously you reached the fifth round last year and had that great tie against Arsenal. What would you say the aim is this season?
Yeah, go as far as you can. See if we can get a cup run. It's a great competition. This is the first round, and obviously we have a hard tie. But similarly, we do want a good cup run every season if we can at all. Make sure that happens.
The pre-match thoughts of manager Kenny Jackett there at the training ground press conference earlier this week. Coming up after the break, myself, Sam and Katie will be delving deeper into previewing Pompey's FA Cup first round tie against Ipswich Town, and we'll also be bringing Henry Deacon into the conversation. Henry's will be joining the three of us live to talk all things non-league. Blues fans back home, this is your final reminder to get in touch with the show before we leave you in just under 20 minutes' time. 81400 is the number to text if you want to get your final thoughts and score predictions into the panel. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, it's pompey@expressfm.com with the emails, at expressfm on Twitter, or there's facebook.com/pompeylive. So don't go anywhere and keep it switched to 93.7 Express FM for the conclusion of tonight's show. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. We've reached the third and final stop of tonight's Football Hour, which is being safely driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. Head on over to stagecoach.co.uk to find out the latest information regarding rules and guidelines to follow when boarding public transport. Still to come tonight, we'll be calling up our very own Henry Deacon shortly to talk all things non-league and the future of lower division football as clubs continue to struggle to make ends meet as we head into a second national lockdown. Henners will also be providing a short preview of Havant to Waterlooville's FA Cup first round fixture. But before we do any of that, it's time now to preview an FA Cup fixture of our own. Tomorrow afternoon, the Blues travel to Portman Road for a 3 p.m. kickoff to face off with League One promotion rivals Ipswich Town. But what do we know about the Tractor Boys from East Anglia? Mason Jordan has the key information and the names to look out for.
After Tuesday night's victory over Lincoln at Sinsel Bank, it's time for the Blues to have a break from league action. This weekend marks the start of a doubleheader of cup action, and it's the return of the FA Cup, and Ipswich Town awaits at Portman Road.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Pompey will have to wait until Monday the 16th of November until their next fixture in League One. However, this weekend, it's the return of the most prestigious club competition in the world, the FA Cup. Standing in the way of Kenny Jackett and a place in round two is Ipswich Town, and this is what we know so far about the team nicknamed the Tractor Boys.
Manager.
51-year-old Glaswegian Paul Lambert is the man in the dugout at Portman Road. The former St Mirren and Celtic midfielder enjoyed a successful 20-year playing spell between 1986 and 2006, becoming the first British footballer to win the European Cup, now known as the Champions League, with a team based outside of the UK. That triumph came at Borussia Dortmund in 1997. Lambert has plenty of experience managing in the Football League, taking charge of clubs such as Wycombe Wanderers, Aston Villa, and even Ipswich rivals Norwich City. Since taking charge of proceedings at Portman Road in October of 2018, the Scotsman has recorded 30 wins from 93 competitive fixtures, occurring a win percentage of 32.3%.
One to watch.
Pompey fans should be well aware by now that whenever a former player lines up against them, they're likely to put in a good shift and probably even bag a goal too. This weekend, we expect no different from Ollie Hawkins, who departed PO4 earlier this summer after the gaffer controversially deemed the striker surplus to requirements. The 28-year-old spent 3 years at Fratton Park and scored the winning penalty over Sunderland in the 2019 EFL Trophy final, having previously ran out for Dagenham and Redbridge in the non-league. So far, Hawkins has scored just once in 9 appearances for his new club, for whom he wears the number 32 shirt.
Top scorer.
Welsh winger Gwion Edwards leads the way in terms of goals for Ipswich so far in League One. The 27-year-old is joint third in the overall leaderboard for the division, having scored 5 to this point. He has also recorded 3 assists from the opening 11 matches. Edwards, who has been landed the squad number 7 for this season, made the switch to Portman Road in July of 2018 for a reported fee of over £700,000 from Peterborough United. Pompey's John Marquis currently leads the way in the charts. His brace on Tuesday night sent him to the top of the rankings with 7 strikes to his name since the start of the league campaign.
Current form.
This week's opponent sits in second in League One, having picked up 22 points from their opening 11 matches. Over the last 7 league games, the Tractor Boys have secured 4 wins and suffered 3 defeats, most recently losing out by a scoreline of 2-1 to Sunderland at the Stadium of Light on Tuesday evening. The last time these two sides met, Pompey were victorious, claiming a 1-0 home win last December. The reverse fixture at Portman Road never took place due to the league being curtailed as a result of the pandemic. Can the Blues replicate the heroics of successful FA Cup campaigns of seasons gone by and come away from Ipswich having secured a place in round 2 of the competition? All of the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
Mason Jordan there with a closer look at Ipswich Town, Pompey's opponents in the first round of the FA Cup. And Sam Macy, a good test against likely promotion contenders and probably one of the most difficult draws Pompey could have got.
Oh, completely. If you look at the ties we could have got, this is probably in the top 3 hardest ties in my opinion. I think that Sunderland and possibly a trip to Peterborough as well, I think they're the 3 which you don't want.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the League 2 and below is the sort of like the ties which you want. You look at this stage last season, we've got Harrogate away. I don't know, I just think it's just, yeah, it's a difficult one, but it'll be another good test to see how this squad's getting on and see if the team can put another good performance together.
Yeah. Ryan Lewis on Facebook says we should rest our key players, start Marquis because he's banging form. I'd rest Naylor for this one because we don't want to make the same mistakes we have previously. I'd also like to see Jordi Huula start out wide with Ennis Harrison up top with John Marquis and maybe Alex Bass in between the sticks as well. Thank you to Ryan Lewis on Facebook for getting in touch there. It is likely to be a strong team tomorrow afternoon, Katie, with minimal changes. And if we do win again, that breeds confidence, no matter the competition.
Yeah, I do believe that we should be resting our best players, though, because we all know what happens towards the end of the season. Players get burnt out, injuries occur. Yeah. But especially if Tom Naylor's pulled his hamstring on Tuesday night, is it really worth risking him for that? And I think it's time to start giving the fringe players like Haji a chance to get in and show what they're capable of.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations to Haji Minoga, who made his Football League debut on Tuesday night in the final few minutes of Pompey's 3-1 victory over Lincoln City. Very good for Haji Minoga. Great to see another one of the academy products come into the first team. Hopefully, we could see him tomorrow afternoon against Ipswich as well. Just a quick one as well. No replays in this season's FA Cup. That's also due to, of course, the ongoing COVID pandemic. It will go straight to penalties if we can't separate Ipswich and Pompey tomorrow afternoon. And before we do move on, Sam, it is a bit of a free hit for Pompey in the sense that if we do lose, it's one less competition in the way of our main goal, which is promotion. A good performance and a narrow defeat away to a promotion rival wouldn't be the end of the world, though. Of course, we always want to win, but it wouldn't be total meltdown.
No, it's not a disaster, is it, if we lose tomorrow? I think It's a week off, isn't it? Effectively, if we do go out tomorrow, and I think that will be as good as getting far in the competition. if you ask me, would I rather, we're never going to win the FA Cup, so getting out first round isn't the end of the world. So focus on the league, and hopefully with that, if we do go out and we have a break, then it will give the players a chance to rest up and get ready for the league fixtures.
Yeah. Okay, moving on now. And usually at this stage we'd hear from Ryan Honey, who would preview the weekend's action involving our local non-league and women's team. However, non-elite football below the National League pyramid has been put on hold due to the lockdown which was implemented yesterday. Henry Deacon joins us now to talk about the impact this is going to have on our local sides. Headers, thanks for joining us, mate. Just how crucial of a period is this now for our local teams?
This is huge. It's not make or break, it'd be a bit dramatic, but they can't afford this to be a situation that goes on forever. Mm. We know that this is time date to the 2nd of December, and they need to make sure really that it's kind of time dated to that specific date. It's the non-elite clubs are lucky in the fact that they can have crowds, so when they do come back, fans will be able to go in and they can create revenue that way. But to call it a bleak situation would probably be the right way to describe it.
Yeah. The only one of our sides of which we would preview tonight, Henry, that is actually going to continue throughout this lockdown is your side, Havant Waterlooville. Of course, you are the media manager there at the Hawks. And just summarise what's happening this weekend for the Hawks, because you've also got a very big game coming up in the FA Cup.
Yes. So we've got Cray Valley on Sunday afternoon, 12:45, live on the telly. Big opportunity for us to get to the second round, but it's hard to believe that if we win on Sunday, it'll only ever be the second time in our history we've ever made the second round. The other time was obviously that occasion we made it at Anfield. So to call this one of the biggest games in the club's history would probably be about right.
Yeah.
We go into it as favourites against Cray Valley, but they're a good team who have got players that have played at our level not too long ago. And they would have thought getting us out of the hat away from home was probably one of the best ties that they could have got. So it's a big opportunity for both clubs.
Yeah. And now, a lot of positives for Havant Waterlooville this weekend, as you've just mentioned there, Henry. But going back to some of the sides who won't be featuring for the next month or so, the likes of Gosport Borough, Pompey Women, of course, Gosport Borough Ladies, United Services of Portsmouth, Moneyfield, Bognor Regis Town as well, Porchester. Teams who won't be playing for a month now, do you fear perhaps for the financial future of these clubs in the lower divisions, or are you confident maybe that this month period is probably not enough to actually worry them too much?
They'll bounce back. And the reason why I say that is because they're not going back to an environment that's behind closed doors. When they do come back, there'll still be crowds there. Okay, there'll be a lot more midweek games, which does put a loss in the gate, but the fixtures will still be played. There's no talk whatsoever about cancelling seasons or anything like that. Hmm. So the fixtures will be fulfilled. Money will still go in on the gate, will go in on the bar, on the programmes, the facilities there. So I'm not overly panicked. Of course, it's a worrying time, but it's nothing that I don't think can be salvageable. It's unsalvageable even.
Yeah. Katie, you're of course the vice-captain of the Gosport Borough Ladies, and you also will be going for a period of time now where you won't be playing any matches, you won't be able to train as well. How is this going to affect you and your team?
Well, as a team, we were just getting in form. We'd just had a big cup win. We're now through to the quarterfinals. We were fourth in the league, and it's more demoralising than anything. We spent 3 months after lockdown getting our fitness up, gelling as a team as we had new players in. We've got a player who dislocated her knee back in June, who was due to come back and play this Sunday, and obviously it's all been scrapped. So I think even for people's mental health, it's such an important part of people's lives that they just get out, play with their teammates, just have fun and enjoy themselves. And now it's all been taken away from them again. Even if it is just for a month, it's still a month where you're stuck inside your house, you can't really do anything and can't do the thing that you love the most.
Yeah. Well, wishing you and your team all of the best heading into this period, Katie. And of course, all of our local sides and all of our local women's teams as well, as we're heading into this second lockdown. Fingers crossed we can get out of it as quickly as possible and we can see service start to resume in the lower divisions. Henry, thanks for joining us. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for tonight, pal. Thank you so much for calling this in this evening, by the way. It's been great to hear from you. But now we're going to hear from you back home you've been sending in your score predictions for tomorrow's game at Portman Road. Henry, don't go anywhere. I'm going to ask for yours as well. I'm actually going to kickstart with my own tonight. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. Pompey going to win on penalties, I reckon. Just a few on Facebook very quickly. Anthony Lee's going for a 2-1 Pompey win. John Mumford says 1-0 Pompey. Alan Snelling is going for 3-3. And Tim Wood says 4-2 win on penalties. Barry Bain says 2-1 to Pompey. Andy Kitchener is going to a 3-1 victory. And Marcus Deacon's finally 2-0 to Ipswich. As a fan, obviously don't want to lose any game, but I really won't lose any sleep over an early FA Cup exit, says Marcus on Facebook. So those were the thoughts of the fans back home. But what about my guests here on the Football Hour this evening? Sam, let's start with you. Just a very quick one. How do you predict this one unfolding?
1-0 Pompey, John Marcus.
Sam's going for 1-0. How about you, Katie?
2-1.
2-1 says Katie. And Henners, while you're here, mate, what are you thinking of tomorrow's game?
Usually these types of games in the FA Cup never quite live up to the billing, do they? So I'm going 0-0. No score draw.
Sam, Katie, Henry, thank you all so much for calling in this evening. So that's it from us tonight, Pompey fans. But fear not, because your next dosage of Blues action is just around the corner.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is,
you wouldn't believe it,
Pompey Live.
Pompey bounced back from last week's home defeat with yet another victory on the road as the Blues secured a 3-1 victory over Lincoln City in midweek. Up next for the Blues is the first round of the FA Cup. Ipswich Town await at Portman Road in the first round proper. Join us for all of the unmissable action from 2 p.m. tomorrow.
2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, Pompey Live will be on scene at Portman Road to bring you all of the action off the Blues' maiden voyage in the FA Cup this season. OK, up next for you then is Connor Mosley, who brings you Express Floor Fillers right after the news at 7. He's got the perfect playlist for you and your stay-at-home lockdown party. And then from 9 o'clock tonight, Hipshaker returns with 2 hours of 60s soul, R&B and beat music before Express Party from 11. Ian McGuinness wakes you up with Saturday Breakfast tomorrow from 8 a.m. before handing over to Lily Park at 11. And this Sunday, the coronavirus special returns at 6 p.m. to give you the lowdown on the impact COVID-19 has had in Portsmouth, also featuring interviews discussing how the city will operate through this second lockdown. But before all of that, we've got FA Cup action to bring to you. As you've already heard, Pompey Live will be on hand from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon to provide full build-up as well as live kick-by-kick commentary of Ipswich Town versus Pompey in the first round of this season's competition. Myself, Liam and Ryan will be on hand from 2 p.m. at Portman Road. So be sure to join us then. I, for one, look forward to hearing from you back home throughout the game. However, until then, have a great evening, Pompey fans. As always, stay safe. Keep the faith and play up Pompey. Have a great evening and enjoy what's to come. Good night.